From Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. This is your host, Brian Gendron. Today, I am joined by Shivana Robert Schreiber. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
Good.
It's so nice to have you in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you look lovely.
Well, thanks.
Very bright colors. If you're listening, you can't see the colors. Maybe you'll be able to feel the colors through the
maybe
sound.
Maybe. That's going to be my goal.
That's right.
You can feel my colors through the radio.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Well, good. Well, listen, one of the ways we start our show is we like to share an interesting fact. You shared something right before we came on the air that you were once in radio.
I was. Yeah. So I was the female voice for a show in Tucson, Arizona. And if you're in Houston, which we're in Houston, it would be synonymous with like a 104, so top 40 morning show. So I was the person, the female voice that you heard on your way to work in the morning, and everything from interesting facts, news. Yeah, that's what I did.
That is a lot of fun.
It was fun.
You do a lot of events and that kind of stuff too?
A lot of live remotes, and that's the thing people don't realize about radio is that it's a lot of work. I mean, actually, it's a lot of work, especially morning show. You get in for pre-production, like 4 a.m.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time are you getting up?
No, I was getting up at 2:30 because we were at the studio at 4 and then gone at 5:30 until, I think we were till 11. It was a long morning show. And then live remote sometimes start at 3, 4 o'clock, happy hour. Yeah.
That is a grind.
It was a grind.
How much of that do you take with you into your day-to-day today? Do you have anything you pulled from that?
No, I think so. I think, like I mentioned to you, one of the things, if you're on radio, any sort of public type of job, people tell you how they feel, what they think, and they just do, right? They just offer their opinions, and so you learn to not care or just to not take things personally. Not really to not care, that's probably not as accurate, but you don't take things personally. Everyone has their opinion, and that's cool. So I think in radio and the folks that I was on with, they were funny and really good senses of humor, so I just learned to take things not personally.
It's an important trait as an entrepreneur, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For sure.
Start taking on everybody else's feelings and everybody else. You just take in too much and it stunts your growth. If you listen to everything.
Right. You chew the meat and you spit out the bones, as my friend from Alabama says.
That's a very Alabama thing to say.
Isn't it?
I like it. Well, good. Well, this is how the show works. So we like to dive into a big idea that you've had in your career or personally and really dissect that. And the hope is to inspire our audience, mostly entrepreneurs, side hustlers, maybe people who want to get into entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And so I'd love to hear from you, if you're game, what would you consider a big idea?
So my big idea is actually something that people may say, well, that's not a big idea, but it actually is. It's a few words, but it's a big idea, which is, think it all the way to the end. And that's something that not only just me personally, I feel like that's helped me a lot in my life before I was an entrepreneur and then obviously now, but in general, when working with clients, one of the things that I feel like people don't always take the time to do is to think it all the way to the end, whether it's starting a business, running a marketing campaign, changing the brand of their company from the idea to the end, what's the process and what are the steps?
And even running your life, like right, we were just talking about the fact we both like Gary Vee. And he hit you square in the eyes and he said, who's going to show up to your funeral? I'm like, whoa, Gary. Okay. All right. Think it through all the way to the end.
Think it through the end. That's what I think. That's my
perfect.
Big idea. Yeah.
So my start with entrepreneurship, I was just thinking through to the first couple of years, which a lot of people make that mistake, right? It's just, how am I going to get my first customer, my second customer? And for me, it was, how am I going to get, this is going to be so stupid, but how am I going to get all these TVs on a wall? I wanted like a video wall sound system, and I just wanted a big toy.
Sure.
And then I guess once I had that toy, I was like, I made it. I'm not sure. But then you start getting into it, and you're like, oh, this is a lot harder than I think. And that video wall, like, sure, I can go buy the TVs and put them up, but nobody, they're not going to mean anything. This is for an IT consulting company. And so I quickly realized that that's not what entrepreneur is about, and that's not what the goals are. And people would ask you, like, what's your end game? What's your exit strategy, right? You hear that all the time. And I just didn't think that way when I came into it. Because you think about beginning. You don't think
well,
about
it. Well, and I don't know. I was on a plane, as I am a lot, and I sat next to a guy who has become a friend now. And one of the things we talked about was exit strategy. And I said, you know, honestly, I don't have an end date. I don't have an end revenue where I feel like I'll exit. I am aware enough to know when I will exit. For example, even though I don't have an end date, if someone were to offer me the right amount of money, and I'll know if it's offered, then I'd be like, okay, I'll sell it, because I'm not married to the company in that way. I see it as it's a business, it's a revenue stream, and if someone will give me enough for me to go and do something else, then I'll take it.
That's right. And we might have got a little ahead of ourselves. You want to talk about your business a little
bit?
Yeah,
sure. What kind of business you run? Yeah, so S&R Creative, so we're a full-service marketing agency. So that means, people say, what does that mean? So that means we can do your marketing campaign, we can manage your social media, we can build a website, we can do graphics. So anything that is customer-facing, and even internal, actually, that relates to your brand and how you communicate with the folks who are consuming your brand, to use that phrase, we'll do it.
Internal campaigns. I'm going to stop and just zoom in on that, because mm-hmm. you said internal. I've done a little bit of that work, like cybersecurity campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. That's one example where I've seen that. What other ways have you seen?
Yeah, so one of our clients right now, we're working with them on their huge organization, and they have all of these employees, and people get lost in the shuffle. And so it's helping an individual in that organization realize, I am in charge of my career. I have to manage that. And what does that look like? There are all these tools that the corporation feels like they make available, and they do. But if just because it's available at corporate doesn't mean that I know in this office in Dallas, Texas, for example, that these are available to me. So it's helping an employee go from employed to employable, whether within that organization mm-hmm. or elsewhere. So that's an example, and it's all internal marketing.
I remember working for a large company at one point. I don't know if you've done this or
not. I
have. Yeah. And they had the company intranet. And there's yep. all these resources. But you can only explore so far. You need to be taught what those resources are.
Exactly.
And so,
and that's a campaign, right? It's just like, even their internal stakeholders to that particular brand, but it's them understanding what's available. How do I, not even just what's available, but how do I tap into it? Because you could know that a program exists, tuition reimbursement, for example. That's one that a lot of big companies offer. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know how to go through submitting for approval for tuition reimbursement, then it doesn't really matter. It's like, it's a bit esoteric. So it's there, but okay, now what? So mm-hmm. that's all internal marketing.
And so that would lead me to believe that's a little larger of a company.
It's humongous company.
Humongous, yeah. What's your normal profile size client?
You know, we don't really have a normal profile. Well, I always say this, clients who pay their bills are our favorite clients to have, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and so we're industry agnostic, so, and really size agnostic. I actually personally like working with smaller companies, code for people who have tight decision-making units. So that means mm-hmm. that if I come to talk to you, Brian, and we meet about some sort of marketing activity that you want us to help you with, and you can make the decision solely, or you and one other person who you can access. Right. So really, that's really the end game. So even if it's a huge company, if we get to the right person and they are able to make the decisions, and usually bigger companies, it's by revenue size, right? So that means that sometimes it's the level of the person has to be the right level so they can make a decision on an SOW statement of work that's over a certain amount. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, it's just as long as you're the decision maker or in a unit that's tight, where it's you and a few other people, then we'll work with you.
Do you also see that at a level of impact that you're making for the organization? Do you think of it that way as well?
Explain.
Well, if it's a smaller organization and you go out and do a campaign and you've increased their bottom line mm-hmm. by, you know, $5 million mm-hmm. compared to if you large company we talked about earlier mm-hmm. increased their bottom line by $5 million. They're like, well, we are expecting more. You know what I mean?
That's a good question. You know what I always do, me personally, and I really coach my team to do this as well, is in the beginning of any engagement to talk to that person, whoever the key stakeholder is, around what do you want to see happen at the end? Think all the way to the end. So from the time we engage to the end, what would be success? And that's the question. What would success look like for you? So it's not really... And so far, no one has ever really set a revenue goal per se, or like a savings, but they have something in mind where they say, well, we want everyone in this particular business unit to know about this new product and feel comfortable going out and talk to our customers about it. Okay, then we can work back from there. Or we're changing our brand and we want our legacy customers to not feel like we haven't considered them when we move to the new name and the new look and feel. Okay, so usually it's more emotional than bottom line driven, actually, so far.
Yeah, it's certainly expectations and mm-hmm. outcomes, and they're not always financial outcomes.
Yeah.
You said it, think it through to the end. It almost feels like this is a part of your culture of your company
in
some ways.
Yeah, so we have team agreements too, so it's so funny because I'm sure some of my team members probably think, I know they think I'm a crazy person, so we could already check that off the list just because I'm very particular about the culture and making sure that we're all marching together to this beat of the same drum. So we have this huge whiteboard in our office, and on it at the top we have our team agreements. Mm-hmm. And so there are things like question into complete clarity. So what that means is, Brian, say for example we were working together and you were on the SNR creative team, and I said, okay, we have this new project, and Brian, you're going to lead the social media strategy for it. And you say, okay. And then I'll say, well, do you have any other questions? And then you say, nope, I'm good. Now, if you come back tomorrow with a question, not that you can't ask questions, but if you come back tomorrow with a question we could have got cleared up today, then I'll say, okay, part of our culture, part of what we've all agreed to is that you have to question until you have 100% clarity to take your next step. Mm-hmm. So if you say tomorrow, well, I couldn't get started because I had a question about this, then I'll say, okay, well, what about team agreement number one? That's actually the first one. Because you should know, or if you don't know now, then why didn't you ask yesterday? And then sometimes there's a reason, right? Well, maybe you're uncomfortable with asking for whatever reason, and we can figure out what that is and move mm-hmm. past it. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's accountability. And
accountability is another one.
Yeah, that's right. And also it could be an external factor. It could be an opportunity to be like, well, what's going on at home?
Exactly. So that's the thing. It's not about nailing anybody, you know, oh, I'm like, oh, well, you didn't ask me, you should have. It's not really about that, but the whole idea is that in order to move quickly, we have, at least as an internal team, we have to be able to take away any barrier mm-hmm. that prevents us from being nimble. Because I feel like that's one of the things that makes us competitive against other marketing agencies, that we can move very quickly from inception of an idea to implementation. That's because we're working together well. So if you're not clear on your next step, then that's slowing down the entire process, and we got to figure it out.
Yeah, so you understand what makes you different in the market. That's also very important.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one, so far in my experience, it's one of the things that even, you know, you go to professional development type activities where people have other marketers are there, or even working with some of our clients and they give you feedback about their experience with other agencies. One of the things that we consistently hear is that we, one, make our clients feel like they're our only client. So I think that's something I feel very proud of, and I would imagine the team feels the same. But then also we move quickly. So one of the jokes, I guess it was maybe last summer, our interns, someone said, I want to learn how to work with video more. That was one of their goals. So I said, okay, that was day one, because we set expectations of what do you want to learn out of this internship? Well, I think by the end of that week, they were out shooting a video for one of our new clients that the client actually used on their website. I mean, so the joke is, if you say you want to do something, well, be careful what you say you want to do, because if you tell me, I'm gonna say, okay, well, let's do it, like now. So yeah, you gotta move quick, get mm-hmm. things done.
Yeah, and you've said it a few times too with your clients, making them feel important, especially your existing clients, like branding exercises. Mm. Right? They end up in some ways being a part of you and a part of who you are, right? Your clients do. How did you incorporate their input for branding, rebrand?
You mean for like for branding ourselves, or
yeah,
helping
didn't you
them
say you were rebranding? I mean,
whether it's rebranding for them, but
oh,
I mean
see.
Even just in how we incorporate feedback we've gotten from our clients in our work. One of the things I've learned a lot about what not to do, that's mm. for sure. Mm. And then the things that we get compliments on, we figure out a way to make that happen more within an organization. So if a client says, you know, I really love that if we start talking about an idea within 14 days from us talking about it, you have a fully baked, not only strategy around what you would do, but then some templates you can give us that if we say, yep, we want to do this, we can actually start. Versus if you've ever worked with any sort of professional service company, and I used to work for a consultancy, sometimes these things can stretch out and it's a lot of meetings and a lot of talking, and you're like, okay, wait a minute, we've been at this for 90 days and we've not actually done anything. We've not produced anything. So that's something that direct client feedback that we've taken into our culture, which is, we're going to actually do something. So if we talk about an idea, then it's with the expectation that if you say yes, you want to do it, then very quickly, like days, you know, maybe a couple of weeks on the long end, you will start to see fruits of that idea, which I think is different.
Does some cultures are move a little slower? Is that uncomfortable in some situations? Do you move, or maybe refreshing? I don't know. Is there a negative experience on that?
Some culture, a lot of, especially the bigger the company, typically, right? The slower they move. What's interesting is that you end up, for example, we just had this conversation where we had a prospective client that when we first met, they were like, okay, we're ready to rock and roll, and we've done all these things, and we're ready to go. So it's like, okay. So they mentioned to us something that they, some artifact that they produced, and we said, okay, we'll share it with us, and then we'll use that to inform what we recommend. Well, they didn't share it. And one of the things that we, after we did a debrief internally, we thought is, people aren't used to people saying, okay, if you're ready, I'm ready. Mm. Because talking about an idea sometimes it fulfills the same internal whatever it is that makes people feel like they're doing it. So it's like when you talk about business owners and or people who want to be business owners. Well, okay, well, what business do you want to have? Well, I want to run a comic book shop. Okay, well, where do you go buy comic books? And, oh, we go buy them at these three places. Okay, well, have you bought any comic books? Well, no. Okay. 3 months later, well, what's up with the comic book? And but they get the juice from talking about it, but they never actually take the steps. Well, the same is true with clients. I mean, people are people. So that's something that I definitely can recognize really quickly. And it's not that it's discouraging, but it just helps us plan our work because we know if you're ready to move, then you start moving with us and then we go. If not, then that's fine. And we can just adjust our timeline. And we communicate that with you. Like, okay, until you give us these three things, we can't do this thing. And it's your project. You drive. You're in the driver's seat. We're just there to support you. So we're not going to do anything until you give us the three things. And that's just that.
Communication seems to be a key ingredient internally and with clients. Yep. What type of tools are you using, I guess, internally and then externally?
So we use Flock. So Flock is like Slack, right? And I don't really know what's the difference. I mean, I think they, other than the color of the interface, I think they essentially do the same thing, which is, you know, instant messenger. And it's cut down on emails, and especially when it comes to sharing big files. And so we, for example, if on our server we have storage of, like, you know, humongous files, well, that can be a problem. The email goes back and forth, but you can share them very easily through Flock, so that's what we use. And then I personally, like I mentioned, start using OneNote, which has been great because I can access it on any device. So that's just been helpful. And then internally, we can use an old school method too. So on that big whiteboard, we write down each day our top three things, two or three things. It didn't have to be three things, but our DTTs. So we write down what we're going to do that day that we're going to get done. So that's another difference. Not, oh, I'm going to put down 10 things. No, I don't care about 10 things. I want to know what are the two things or three things you're actually going to complete and take off the list today. And so that makes people think when you start your day with the mind of finishing something. So what can I complete today? And maybe it's one thing, but the point is you're mindful of it and everybody sees it.
More accountability. You know, I'm a starter. I am a starter. Finishing. Not my thing.
So what happens? So you start, and then what happens?
Well, let's take something like a book, and I've gotten actually okay with it. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. Like a book, like I've gotten out of it what I needed to get out of it to take action.
Sure.
My own action.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm writing my own book, like, you know. Yeah. Whatever. So, but and maybe I'll never finish that.
We'll see, right?
Yeah. But
maybe it'll be a white paper. Maybe it won't be a book.
Yeah.
Just like stop and make it a white paper.
But yeah. or even take companies, for example. Like start Knox Urban, but start Execs in Tech. Oh, we were talking earlier. Start an entertainment company. But it's good to identify that I'm good at starting and getting that initial thing going, taking action, which is one of your big things.
Yeah, so that's why you need the support, folks, right? So
right.
That if you can start it, because there are people who can't start, but they can finish, or they're good in the middle.
That's right.
So that's when you say, okay, well, speaking of Gary Vee, he was just talking. I watched a video, and he told the guy, whatever you love to do, figure out who you can put around you so you can keep doing more of what you love to do. So you love to start, keep starting, and let other people sort of bring up the rear.
That's exactly right, and I'm starting to be more comfortable with that. And I've known that I've been a pretty poor manager in the past when I've been in that role, mostly from lack of training, but also lack of leadership. And lately, I've been acquiring better leader skills. Maybe it's just a timing thing. Maybe it's
good
being a parent.
You.
I don't know where they come from. But
well, you better be a leader. You're leading these children, right?
I know.
Your own kids.
Yeah.
So you are responsible.
I think it all mixes together,
yeah.
Right? But whatever it is, and I'm noticing that man, managing is a lot easier when you're a leader, right?
It is.
And so, you know, you can build in followers, and then you've I love some of the things that you're doing from accountability, from, you know, managing expectations. All those things are important. They become way easier when you're a leader.
Well, and the thing that I, for me at least, you know, not just being a leader here at SNR Creative, but in other roles when I work for other companies, being in leadership, is I've always been very mindful that I don't want to be, nor do I need to be, the star of the show. As a matter of fact, I would rather be in the background, because I don't want to be the single point of failure. So I don't want to be the person that, if I'm not involved and I'm not doing everything, then it's not going to work, which means that I have to be a good leader, because I need to build a team that they feel comfortable and confident to own things and take them to the end without me. Like, they don't need to get my, sometimes you need to get input, but some things, like I told someone just today, why are you asking me this? Before you ask me about this idea, think about why would I say no? And if you can't think of a reason I will say no, then just do it. Because you know me, so you know the things that I'll say no to, or the things I'll say, well, wait a minute, let's think about this. But what you've just suggested is all positive. Like, there is no reason that anybody who is reasonable would say, no, you can't do that. This is a positive thing for you, for the clients, for our company. So just do it and feel confident in just doing it. Well, I think that's leadership. And that means that I have to trust that it may not be the way I'm going to do it, but that's okay. As long as it is ultimately getting done, then it doesn't have to be my way.
Yeah, certainly empowering your people. A wise person told me once that you got to expect 80% of the way you would do it, or be happy with 80% of the way you would do it.
Yeah, so Gary Vee was telling this guy this, and you know Gary Vee, he's a trip, because he like cusses and cut up, and I love it. But anyway, so he was telling the guy, this is your company. They'll never love it as much as you love it, and you shouldn't expect them to, and that's okay. So stop, get that out of your mind. It's over. They're not. You're never going to find a person who loves it at level 10 like you do, nor should you.
Right.
If you can find some good sevens, some good eights, that is excellent, and just keep going with that.
Yeah, that's the 80%. That's B-minus. B-minus and up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good perspective, and you know, this is speaking to me particularly as somebody who's a starter, still got
to
see it all the way through the end.
So you
got
to
hand the baton to somebody that has those skills.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to identify and empower those people.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given me some good sort of managerial ideas to help me do that. Yeah, so, and probably for some of our listeners too.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, that's good. So what's next for y'all? What's going on with you?
So this is summertime and we love interns. So we have the balance of our interns. We have some that started, and the balance of them will come on in the next couple of weeks because school get out at different times. So we'll have our full group of summer interns. So that's always fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. And then really planning for the second half of the year. So I think unlike other businesses our size, we have quarterly goals, and we really monthly goals, quarterly goals, half year goals. So we do that. We forecast, we plan. So we're going to plan for, it's about to be June. So we're going to plan for the next half of this year. And then put all the things in place that we think we need to do to be able to accomplish those goals. And I really like our internship program, because what we in our, so the interns are going to get something out of it, right? We ask them, what do you want to learn? So then we make sure that happens. But then what we want to get out of it is, what can the interns help us do that will get us way far ahead when they leave? So what can they do in 3 months that'll put us 6 months ahead? So if there's a process that needs to be established, or there are files that need to be cleaned up, whatever those things are that for whatever reason we haven't gotten done completely, we started maybe and didn't finish, or we don't have the expertise to do it, but one of them or collectively they can figure it out, and let's give them that project to own. So when they leave, they're better, but we're also better as an organization as a result of them being here. So that's exciting. So summer's exciting for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to look at internships. What is the goal setting? You know, you're planning out your 6 months. What's that process? Do you have a coach? Well, first of all, do you have a business coach or somebody you work with? You don't?
This is all kind not of, formally, no.
Okay. So mentors kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, not really even mentors. So I use books as my mentors in some ways, and Gary Vee and people like that. But I have some folks that have been super successful in their businesses that if I have a question, then or I'm stuck on something, or I just need some advice that I can go to. But I really do treat that, I use those resources sparingly, and this is just a Shivana-ism. So when I was a kid, my mom used to always say, don't ask a question of someone else until you have exhausted your resources for figuring it out yourself. So before I'll ask, I'll have to know I can't figure it out. And most things, if you really try, you can figure it out.
That's true.
Yeah.
But at some point, as the business owner with who's got higher level of responsibility,
mm-hmm.
And just busy,
yeah,
right? Don't you have to draw that line a little closer to your time? Time becomes more.
Yeah, but I guess I was thinking more around like mentorship. So like the questions I would ask of a mentor, things like. Someone came to me about being a business partner, and I don't think I want to take on a business partner.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll have a conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I am at this point in my business, and someone has offered to buy a portion of it, and I see the good, but I'm just kind of stuck, and I want to get a different perspective from someone who I think has wise counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of questions I'm asking them. Or I feel like we're at a good point at this amount of folks, and if I hire someone, I'm thinking it needs to be someone at this level because I want them to do this. What do you think about that? Because I know you've already gone through this 3 or 4 times.
Sure.
So it's more like the strategic questions. And,
right.
I mean, those don't come up that often. So when they do, I definitely have some folks that I can go and I trust their opinion for sure. Or I'll go and research and read and sort of draw from all of the best of the best and figure it out.
Cool. And then before I ask further about your 6-month planning and further planning, mentioned books a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Any book that you have in particular you'd like to recommend?
I have a list. Okay, so my top book, Hope Is Not a Strategy. So that book is a sales book. Have you heard of this book
before?
Yeah, I've
heard of it. Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's just like a really good book. And as a matter of fact, we have a quote wall that's a wallpaper, but it's all quotes. And that's my quote. Hope is not a strategy. You have to plan and do the work. So Hope Is Not a Strategy is the title of the book. You have to plan and do the work, which is just my ad lib.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that book. The Alchemist, because I think that that's just a good book. When we read that as a team, we also have a book club. So we read that as a team because we all work best at different times and we really seek to understand each other so we can be better team members. Made to Stick, that's a really good book. Spark, The Seed of the Soul, that's a little bit more woo-woo, esoteric, spiritual, whatever, but that's a really good book. The Power of Who, because I do think people have, especially in this day and age, they are connected to a lot of people, but they don't really have people in their network that they leverage for questions about strategies or to get connected with someone else to move some idea forward. And so I do think that understanding that typically if you look around, you probably have the people situated around you that could help you make at least the next step, but you have to be able to tap into the network. So I think that's another good book.
Wow, it's quite a list, and it's cool.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them, but those are the ones that are like...
And that's an internal book club with your team?
Yeah, so we have an internal book club, and so we started last year, so we each pick a book, and it can be whatever. There's no genre in particular, but yeah, so people pick a book, and then we discuss it.
Well, good. And let's do this. Let me kind of have you close out with your strategic planning for the back half of the year. So just tell me what that process is like,
yeah.
And then maybe a little bit long-term, how you do your long-term strategic planning.
Yeah. So for the back half of this year, what we'll do is we'll look at our clients that are kind of our marketing, what we call marketing on demand clients, where we're filling a need for them that was a short term in that maybe they had a marketing manager that's not there anymore, or a VP of marketing that's no longer there, and so we're filling this role. And we know that that's going to come to a close. So we'll do an assessment. Is there an opportunity to extend this agreement because some new project has perked up or percolated up or not, and that's okay if not. We also we look at the current clients and where do we have opportunities to expand or which projects are going to close out. So we just go ahead and plan for that. So the ones that are closing out, we do a closeout summary. So we'll meet with the client. We'll transfer over to them anything, you know, files, passwords, whatever, anything that is theirs that we need to give them full access to and close it out. And then, you know, we invite them to all of our things at the end of the year or at the beginning of next year. So we stay in touch, but we know that that agreement is ended. For the ones that continue, then we are meeting with the clients to say, okay, this is what we've done so far, like this first half of the year. So what's your plan, if they haven't already shared with us, for the balance of the year, and then how can we support you? So then that starts to inform for us the work that we'll have going, you know, through the end of this year. And then any net new clients, right? So we're constantly, you know, doing business development. And when we bring even prospective clients, really trying to understand their business and then figuring out, like, what are we going to pitch to them as how we can help them solve whatever challenge they're having right now. And so those three pieces will make up, okay, this is what we know we have in the pipeline and by when projects need to close. These are the things that are going to continue through the next quarter, the next half of the year. And then these are new things that are going to come on board between, say, now and the end of the year that we need to make sure that we have the resourcing to fulfill. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that's it. So it's not, I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But you have to do that, though, right? I mean, it's not, it's straightforward, but it does take a little bit of time.
Sure.
And planning.
Yeah, and it's important to go through it. That seemed to be one of your messages. You said not every company our size does this. Mm-mm. And I believe that. That's true. But yeah. Every company could benefit from it.
Well, because what happens, and if you haven't had this happen, good, but beware, is people will have one client that is big, mm-hmm. and they'll focus all of their resources on that client, and then something happens. Well, if your business, a small business, and you have one big client, all that has to happen is for the person who has your contract to no longer work there. Mm-hmm. And then that throws everything out of balance, and now you're scrambling, you have payroll to meet. So I just think that's dangerous, and we don't ever want to be in that situation. So we're always thinking, okay, how do we build a robust, diversified pipeline of clients and of business, and how do we continue to service our clients? So even if this project is done, when something else comes up that we could potentially help with, they think of us, and then we can get engaged.
Excellent. It's very tactical in the short term. And then just real quick on the longer term strategy, how do you do that process?
So what we do is, so we like what we call non-sexy industries. So we like the engineering firms, just the things that have to happen, pipe companies, industries that are going to be here, that trucking companies have been here but aren't hot. They're not a restaurant. We're fine with working with restaurants, but we like the industries that are like dry cleaners. Well, dry cleaners are always going to be in business. Because people are always going to have something that needs to be dry cleaned. So we think about what are the industries that we feel like there's white space. Either they don't really typically have a fully developed marketing function, or the industries where maybe they're just starting to realize the benefit of really doing some focused strategic marketing, and we know we can add value because either we have experience or we're just interested in it, and then we proactively target them. So we run campaigns to those industries in particular. So that's like on the long term. And then as you build the pipeline of clients, for example, in construction engineering, then you get referrals. So then they are going to their professional networks, and you go sponsor. Well, how many times have you gone to a construction conference and seen a marketing company? Never, probably. Well, that means if you're there, then you can corner that market. So that's what we do.
Yeah, I understand. So, looking for white space, because it's a pretty competitive industry that you play in.
You know what, though? What's interesting is I feel like it's competitive, but I think a couple things. I think it's competitive. It's competitive, but most of the competition is not full service, if that makes sense. So I know many companies that they can only do one thing. They can only do websites. They can only do graphics. They can only do social media support. I don't know many companies, actually, that are full service.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, good. So how do we find your company and yourself?
Yeah. So SNR Creative. So we're SNR Creative on Facebook. We're SNR Creative on LinkedIn. We're SNR Creative HOU, so for SNR Creative Houston on Instagram. And me, Siobhana Roberts Schreiber, literally it's pretty straightforward. Nothing. It's pretty non-sexy too, I guess. But that's how you can find me. So on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Twitter, I'm Siobhana SNRC. So Siobhana SNR Creative, but just the initials. And I'm on there quite often. So that's where you can find us.
Very cool.
So please go find us and check us out. Follow us.
Please do. Yeah they're a terrific group. I certainly follow y'all on social media. I was just
telling her
I saw something today that caught my eye on YouTube comedy videos. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So you guys share a lot of relevant content. So I definitely recommend following.
Please
and,
do. Yeah.
And just a great perspective on how you run your business.
Thank you.
I really appreciated speaking with you today. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you all for joining us. Now get out there and close some business.
Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.